779.
I'll be reading James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Has kind of snuck up on us. The time just flies. But next Sunday is Friends and Family Day. Tony Holt will be our speaker next week, and we will begin at our regular times at 9 and 10, and then we'll have a fellowship meal following the morning service. So I hope that you have been inviting friends and family and neighbors to come and join us. If not, guess what you get to do this afternoon and this week? Invite folks to come and be with us. It's always a wonderful time, and I hope that you'll plan on being here. Sometimes we read the Sermon on the Mount and find it almost so difficult that it seems beyond reach. I'm not talking about intellectually difficult. I'm not talking about so hard to understand or mystic or enigmatic that we can't understand it, but just the concepts of the Sermon on the Mount are very difficult because they are very contrary to how we normally think and respond and react. In fact, they are, by their very nature, so lofty that scholars and practitioners of Christianity alike have discussed and debated, is that really what Jesus expects us to do, or were those just the ideals to which no one could ever attain? Well, none of us will attain perfection this side of resurrection. And I understand that. We are all sinners. However, our goal is to be holy. Our goal is to live as Jesus did because He lived perfectly. And so the lessons of the Sermon on the Mount are just not unrealistic ideals, but are actually the truths that God expects and desires for us to strive toward. Turning the other cheek and making peace and being filled with love for others greater than ourselves and living lives of light and trust. And so, how do we move toward living those aspects of which God has called us to? Because in practice, they are difficult. In fact, sometimes we find them so difficult, we almost excuse them. Not that we think that they're unimportant, but again, it's way beyond where I can be. But I think we know that with God's help, we can continue to strive to be that. But I think we get an aspect from James that I want to talk about this morning about the change of our mindset that helps us to be more what God would have us to be. Often when we talk about James, again, we discuss the differences often between James and the Apostle Paul. That Paul seems to be more about faith, and James seems to be more about works. If we had to discuss those, that's sometimes the discussion, and are those two in some opposition to each other? And I think when you read them both, you'll find there's no opposition between them at all. And what we find James talking about here very much in his book is about prayer. And James talks about praying for something specifically. And I want us to talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. And he talks about praying for wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He should ask God for wisdom. Now, wisdom, as we know, is different than knowledge. Someone could be knowledgeable and not be wise. And someone could be very wise and not overly educated or overly knowledgeable. And so, wisdom is something that is earned, but it's also something James tells us specifically that God gives to those who ask Him. Ask for wisdom. And the wisdom that James is talking about is a wisdom that comes from heaven, which is in contrast to the basic wisdom of the world. The wisdom that comes from God, I'm going to repeat that, is in contrast to the wisdom of the world. Because if we are living in the wisdom of the world, we'll find the teachings of Jesus to be of extreme difficulty. It's just the fact. The ways of the world are in contrast to the ways of God. To trusting in God and surrendering to God and trusting God to care for us and to bless us and to protect us and to oversee things for us. Because the wisdom of the world, while most folks who are wise would not find themselves to be brawlers, as a general rule, but still even those who are in the world standards wise would be sometimes cunning and very careful about things and relationships and are folks who are able to manipulate and move in the way that they need to. And it's very much in contrast to what we learn in the Sermon on the Mount and in the life of Jesus. So this wisdom that James is talking about is a wisdom that comes from heaven that gives us the wisdom truly that God has. And it is a different wisdom. It is a wisdom that is different from the world. And how do we receive that if we're lacking that? And he says that we pray to God for wisdom. Pray to God for wisdom. And then I want to talk about this point for a moment, and we're going to focus mostly on wisdom. And he says, pray without doubting. And James here will talk about this person who would be double-minded or like a reed or like a wave in the ocean that's blown by the winds. It's not in stay in the same place. It moves. And so James is saying, if we're going to pray for wisdom, what should we believe? That God is going to give wisdom, right? That God can and will give wisdom if we ask Him for it. But I'll say, well, yes, I'd like to be wise, but I don't really think there's a lot of power to prayer. Because James, in his whole letter, if you read it from front to back, is all about prayer, isn't it? Not only prayer of individuals, but prayers of the church, prayers of elders. It is James who said, the fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so, pray to God for wisdom. The wisdom that comes from heaven. And I think not only pray as a person believing God can give it, but when we pray for wisdom that comes from heaven, to be sure that we want it. Now, why would you not want to be wise? Who wants to remain foolish? Because, I mean, that's not a compliment when somebody says, you're foolish. Right? Nobody wants to be foolish. We might be silly at times, and that's okay. We might be funny at times, and that's okay. But nobody wants to be thought a fool. I don't think any of us wants to be thought a fool. where when we go to say and or do something, folks immediately discount it because it has no value, because we are foolish. But why do I say that we need to make sure we want the wisdom that comes from heaven? Because it is in contrast to the wisdom of the world. And we have to make sure that we want to live differently and think differently than the world does. And that's really the challenge, as I've said from this pulpit many times, that so many of us deal with. Do we want to be different from the world? Do we want to live differently and think differently? And so James says, if you do lack wisdom, God, who has all wisdom, will give us wisdom as long as we believe that He will. And that is the desire of our hearts, to be wise with heavenly wisdom, to be willing to look at things from a different perspective. Let's go to James chapter 3, because he will pick up this discussion of wisdom again. And he asks this question: who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good lives, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. We'll pick this back. We'll continue on this. But who is wise? Here's the question: who's wise among you? And here he comes back: let them show it with their good deeds. Now, James is not saying, does their good deeds make them wise? No, it's the opposite, right? Because they are wise, they will produce good deeds. Let's bring that back up a second. And those deeds will be done in the humility that comes from wisdom. What is the overriding principle, if you will, of the Sermon on the Mount? And the reason I'm using reference to the Sermon on the Mount, because that's the most detailed and lengthy of Jesus' lessons that we have. These are the teachings of Jesus. It is being humble, right? One willing to humble themselves, to esteem others better than ourselves, the Scripture will say, right? To bring about peace. And that is done through humility. And James will tell us that the wisdom that comes from heaven will produce humility in us. How? I don't have all the answers to that. But it humbles us when, one, the wisdom that comes from heaven, I think we gain a greater understanding of who God is. Is that fair? And when we see who God is, we have to be humbled in the presence and the knowledge of God. We have to be humbled in the knowledge and the presence of God. And we have to be humbled with the wisdom of heaven that says this God in who we must be in awe of is yet the God who cares about us and desires to be our Father. That changes our perspective. And the wisdom that comes from heaven teaches us and helps us to realize and learn that this awesome God, who is the creator of the universe, who is the king of all things, who wants to be our Father, provides everything for His children. Provides everything. It is James who will tell us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every one of them. Okay? It is God who fights for us. Should we take vengeance on our enemies? And let's face it. Most all of us, at some point in our lives, if not most of our lives, we want to get back, right? Now, sometimes we're not really vindictive about it. It may just be picking at each other. But if you pick at me, what I want to do? Pick back at you, right? And I pray continuously for wisdom from heaven, but I sure hate for you to get one up on me. My buddy Bruce Hooper from Hooper Supply. He picks at me all the time. So the fertilizer truck came yesterday. Wayne pulls in. He says, my lights have gone off. My truck's overheating. Well, I already knew they'd been having trouble for a few days with the truck. So we called Bruce, and he doesn't really know what to do. And I said, well, do you mind if we run up to Bud's? Just let them look at it, because I'm not a mechanic. Bruce is not a mechanic. And if you know Wayne, Wayne says, I ain't a mechanic either. So we ran up, and little Bud looked at it, and he thinks with a certain degree of certainty it's just a fan clutch that's slipping, and it's getting worse as it gets looser, which if we'd have had the part, he said, it's just a couple of bolts out and pop the clutch off and put it right back on, which is not going to be that difficult. So I pop old Bruce up on my phone. I said, Bruce, it's Tim. He said, yeah, what'd you find out? I said, brother, that head gasket's blown. I said, yeah. He said, oh, man. I said, yeah. I said, that's going to be a job, buddy. That is going to be an expensive mess. I said, oh, we let it get too hot. I should have, you know, and I went on. And Wayne's looking at me like, how long are you going to continue this lie? And then I said, Bruce, really, it's just the fan clutch. Well, what about the head gasket? I said, I made that up, Bruce. It's all right. And then I won't repeat what was said after that. But I tell you that, and we like to, you know, even that was in good fun. There was nothing vindictive about it. It was in good fun, but, you know, we like to get the last word, don't we? But the wisdom that comes from heaven says, I don't seek vengeance on my enemies or my friends, because truly those who need punishment, who will make sure that they get punished? God. God. And that takes wisdom to sit back and say, when somebody I know has done me wrong, to say, you know, I'm not going to stoop to that level. If, in fact, they have done me wrong, God will take care of that. And if we truly have the wisdom of heaven that then causes us to love everybody, what then does our attitude turn to? This person is wrong, and they've done wrong, and they are doing wrong. And my prayer for them is, I hope they see that and turn to God before it's too late. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, that's really hard to do. Maybe I don't lash back, but I say, how many times have you heard this said? I can forgive, but I can't forget. I can forgive, but I can't forget. And I understand there are things we can't put out of our mind, but normally when we say that, it means, I guess I'm going to forgive them, but I really don't want good things for them. Right? Is that a fair assumption when we say that most of the time? But what does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? That we turn our other cheek, right? The Scripture teaches us to bless those who curse us. Do good to those who despitefully use us. And the only way that we can do that is to have the wisdom that comes from God that says God will do what is just and right. And the only way we're able to do that is have the wisdom that humbles us in the presence of God and His perfection and His goodness to say, look how forgiving God has been of me. Because if I don't recognize how forgiving God has been for me, it's very difficult for me to be forgiving of others. And sometimes I'm blinded to my own imperfections. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, do what to the beam in your eye? Remove the beam out of your eye so you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. But it's so easy for me to ignore the beam in my own eye, but to be so sensitive and so cognizant and so wanting to make right the speck in your eye. There's just something in our nature that's good at that. And somehow I can, you know, I learn to maneuver that beam coming out of my eye. You know, I get so used to it that that it doesn't even faze me anymore. But I see clearly when your eye waters a little bit because you stumble. But when I realize with wisdom what God has done for me and His patience and His love for me, then I become patient and loving and kind of others. And I'm actually able to pray for their well-being. James saying, pray for this wisdom because it brings about humility. And in our arrogance, we will never be pleasing to God. What comes before destruction? Pride. And a haughty look before the fall. That's what the wise man Solomon said, wasn't it? When we are filled with pride and arrogance and egotism, we cannot be pleasing to God. But the wisdom that comes from heaven that puts things in perspective for us and teaches us about the ways of God brings about humility that puts us a long way toward being able to do what Jesus has called us to do. Because what does the scripture say about Jesus that was so great about him? Do you remember what Paul says? Paul says, because Jesus was able to humble himself. Right? And what did that mean when Jesus humbled himself? That he gave up equality with God. Now you're talking about giving up something. That Jesus gave up equality with God himself and humbled himself and became a man. And not only a man, but he died a humiliating, painful death on a cross for the love he had for us and the love and obedience he had for the Father. But Jesus was able to do that because he humbled himself. He didn't argue this isn't fair, this isn't right, or they deserve it. Jesus didn't say they deserve it. It's what Jesus could have said, isn't it? And guess what the truth of the matter is? We deserve it. But Jesus didn't say that. In fact, the greatest example, and I just can't really imagine this, to be in the pain of the cross and what those soldiers had said and done. You know, they'd mashed that crown of thorns down on his head, and blood would run down, of course, in his face. And they had hit him on the head, and they had mocked him, and they had spit on him. And then they'd put him on a cross and driven nails in his hands and his feet. And now, in the midst of all of his pain and anguish, they're deciding who's going to get his clothes. I mean, if I'm worried about getting your clothes, do I have any concern about you? Zip. And in that scene, in that pain, in the worst condition you could be in, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That can only come from the wisdom of God in heaven and having a greater perspective and a humility that comes with that wisdom. But that's what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus calls us to. So the lessons of Jesus are not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but they are lessons about how we walk in obedience to God as Jesus did. And it comes from this wisdom that comes from heaven that causes us to be humble. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If we harbor those things, what happens to the truth? It gets pushed out of our lives. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, let's stop. We'll pick up 17 in just a second. Here's the contrast. Wisdom in quotations in the English language. The wisdom that comes from the world that the world might say is wisdom. And what follows it? Not humility and righteous living, but division and discord and envy and strife. Right? Because if I don't have the wisdom that comes from heaven, the wisdom of the world says I better do what? Take care of me and mine and get what's mine and get what's coming, and whatever I got to do to get there, I got to get there. Now that may be somewhat an exaggeration, but it says deep down, I've got to set the goals and make sure that I do what it takes to get there. One, it stresses the dickens out of us. I mean, just stresses us to death. And the second thing is, it means that I cannot esteem others greater than myself. I might be good to others, but they're always going to come second to getting what I need and the goal for me and for mine. Fair enough? Fair enough, because the wisdom of the world that removes God from the equation and His blessing and His putting us where He wants us to be says, I've got to set the path and I've got to do what I've got to do to get there. And so it causes all kind of discord among us because we're all fighting for what? The top, right? Or whatever goal, and our goals will be different, but we're all fighting to get there. And even if I don't step on you, what have I got to do? I'd love to help you, but I got to get to where I'm going. I got to get there. You know, I've got to get to where I'm going. And so I'm not going to step on you, but I just don't have time to lend you a hand. And that's what happens. But the wisdom of heaven is different. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Blessed are the peacemakers. Remember that? Considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What's the difference? The difference is not the selfish ambition. In fact, that's how the very next chapter of James, the very next thought from this one starts. If you got a second just to bring that up, we're not going to go into it, but let's look it up. We'll look at it. See, because he's going to show the contrast. But the wisdom of God causes us to be peacemakers, to be humble, to be kind, to produce good fruits, to not to be jealous. Why? Not to be a respecter of persons. We'll get to that in just a second. Not to be... Some people, and this is not all a bad thing, but I'll just simplify it. Aren't we all pretty excited about the Predators in the Stanley Cup? And I've never watched a hockey game in my life. Never one time. But that night or the next morning, I want to know whether or not they won. I figured out what a hat trick is. Carrie informed me what an empty net is. I'm learning. Even though I don't watch the game, I hope the Predators win the Stanley Cup. I just, you know, it's just some pride in it. And I'll be honest with you, I might know a player or two on the team if you mentioned them to me. But if you gave me much of a test, I'm out on that. But that's okay. I mean, I want them to do well. But here's the point. Whether it's hockey or football or basketball or whatever else, I just hadn't ever been a guy that wanted to wear a jersey with somebody else's name on it. Not even Roger Staubach. You know, if you're not going to wear Roger Staubach's jersey, you're not wearing anybody's, brother. Or Terry Bradshaw, as it were. Because my attitude has always been, he don't know me, so he don't want a jersey with my name on the back, so, you know, which is okay. And I've never been really big about having my picture made with people, although there are people I have a great deal of respect for. But some people are really into that. And so we've got television shows that tell us all about rich and famous and powerful people, right? And magazines that are pretty much dedicated to that. And the news outlets pretty much spend a lot of time talking about what these folks are going and doing. And, you know, we have lifestyles of the rich and famous. I always like the song, The Lifestyles of the Not So Rich and Famous. If they ever did that show, I got a chance. You know, we got a clothesline and old cars. But we can be attracted to that. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, it's not that we don't appreciate people for their successes. That's not the goal. But sometimes we look at what people have in those things and we treat them differently, don't we? Based on who they might be. It might be somebody really famous or somebody just kind of more known in our area. But why would we treat those people differently? And why would the wisdom of heaven not? Because when the wisdom of heaven, we realize all the achievements here, while we should strive to do our best and really have an appreciation for people who do well, we shouldn't try to bring down people who are successful, because success comes with what? Hard work and intelligence, and I'm all for that. But realize that anything we build or do that's not of God, what's going to happen to it? It's not going to last, right? It's just not that important. And the wisdom that comes from heaven reminds us it's just not that important. And so we're not jealous. We're not a respecter of persons. We're not envious, because we say, God's taking care of everything that I need, and these other things just aren't that important. And while I might appreciate what you do, you put your pants on one leg at a time, just like I do, and you will be what you're going to be because God allows that to be. And that's important. And that's what the wisdom from heaven does. So it brings about contentment, because what should we be striving to do as Christians? The will of God, right? Whatever that is. Lord, use me, bring about your will. And know that heaven is our home, and that will last. And be about those things that are important and eternal. And that's what wisdom brings. Now, what does James say? For those who don't have the wisdom of heaven, what happens? And he gives us a lesson here. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. What causes all the strife among people, James is saying? When you don't have the wisdom of heaven and you're fighting and battling and scratching and digging with each other to get things that really don't matter. And that's what's causing all of your strife and trouble. But the wisdom of heaven allows us to be peacemakers, because it's not an arrogance that we rise above, but it is a knowledge that allows us to rise above that which is temporary, and to see things from a greater perspective, with a greater outlook, and to an awesome God who we walk humbly with, because He is the one who has provided for our salvation and whom we know every good and perfect gift comes. Wisdom is so important because it allows us to walk humbly with God, and it allows us to surrender ourselves and be about God's business. Where does that wisdom come from? That wisdom that allows us to begin, at least in a greater way, to walk in God's path as Jesus did. And so the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, while we know they are difficult, do not seem unsurmountable to us, because we have this wisdom from God that makes so much clearer how important that they are to walk in the ways of God. If you lack wisdom, James says, pray. Pray. Desiring that wisdom and knowing it is God who can provide it. The God who gave His Son, and the God who is just, is the one who gives us wisdom. Wisdom not of this world, but the wisdom of heaven. It is the God who gave the very best of heaven for us, because we are all sinners and all deserving of eternal punishment. But our God, who loves us and desires to be our Father, paid the price through the gift of His Son, that those who will repent of the ways of the world and living worldly lives and come to Him acknowledging and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being willing to be cleansed in that blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism, there is life eternal and the blessings that come from being children of the King. If you need to respond, would you do that while we stand and sing?